honor and praise in Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. And listen, I want you to get your notes out. I'm going to speak to you today, and I'm going to try to convey this through the Holy Spirit to you. And then you're going to need to look at this. And some of the things that I'm going to say, it might be hard for you to grasp. And as I always say, never take the word of the preacher. Always check behind it and make sure it falls in line with the word of the Lord. Amen. Because it's your soul at stake. We are responsible for giving you the word. And we are responsible for looking up and giving you the word. But you have to check behind us. Amen. You have to check. You have to be like the Bereans. They says that the Bereans, even though the great apostle Paul preached and taught them, they still checked behind to see if what he was saying was true. And so today, as I convey this to you, I want you to check behind me. And it makes a good study, and it comes up with important questions, and it gives you an ability to challenge yourself and challenge where you're at in your life. Because many of us, we want to see the prosperity of God in our life. And when I talk about prosperity, please don't think I'm talking about money. But let me say that you want the prosperity of the wisdom of God in your life. You want to have a life that is full of the King. Amen. You want to be able to do and be part of the move of the kingdom in these last days. And as we know, all over the United States and even over the world in some places, the word of God is being diluted, being mixed up, being diluted. And there is very rare that you find truth that is around. And we want to make sure that we are conveying truth. Amen. And we are living truth. Amen. Sin is still sin. Amen. There is still a hell. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is still the Holy Ghost. There's still righteousness. Hallelujah. And holiness. Amen. Amen. There is still a King. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he is in the lives of those that trust him and believe him. And because we are become such a generation of people, especially in our society, that are very self-centered, are self-indulgent. We like things for ourselves. We like to go here, like to do this, and like to do that, so that we can fulfill the things that are good and feels good to our flesh. But Jesus makes this statement. He says that you got to count the cost up. The cost is your life. You have to become submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Submitting to the Lordship of Jesus means that you got to be able to give up everything. Amen. And I believe that many of us have not made that choice altogether. We might want to be saved. We might want this and want that of the kingdom. But God has a mandate and a purpose for you being here. In order for you to fulfill that purpose, you've got to forsake everything but Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen to that. And you might think it's hard, but you need to count the cost up. There's no sense in going to hell from the church. You might as well get out there and do your thing. Amen. I believe that. If you're going to do it, do your thing. Amen. And do it to the fullest. Amen. But if you're going to be in the kingdom, you're going to have to do Jesus to the fullest. You're going to have to sacrifice everything to the fullness of who he is in our life. And many times when people come into the body of Christ, because they observe many of us that calls ourselves Christian, they don't see the joy and the peace and the comfort. Sister Courtney, she came up here, and I could see, even this morning she came, I could see the peace that passes all understanding on her. She had joy that was full of God's glory. Amen. And you know what? We all need deliverance. We all need deliverance. Amen. And we overcome by the word, as she indicated, the word of our testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb. And we need a testimony today. If you don't have joy, you need to have a testimony. Amen. And that means you need to submit yourself to the King and allow the King of glory to invade your life and to touch you, to heal you, and you will be full of his joy. If you got problems today, if you have situations that you are in today, you need to understand that the King is here to set you free. You don't have to live the way that you're living. We are all living beneath our privilege. I'm saying about myself too. We are all living beneath our privilege. There's more to God than we can ever imagine. Amen. If we can just trust Him. Amen. Amen. So there's a couple of things I'm going to do. First of all, I'm going to just welcome all of you in the presence of the Lord today. And the reason why I'm saying that is that I pray that you will receive from me today will change your life. It changed your life. Amen. Because as I begin to look at this and study it, it has begun to change my life too. Because sometimes we put so much of a limit on God because of our own limited thinking. It puts limits on the thing that God wants to do in your life. How many know that God is a good God? All right, let's get some foundational truths about God that you already know. How many know that God is not a liar? All right, I don't hear everybody saying that. You need to confess that out. God is not a liar. How many know that God is not a liar? How many know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? How many know that's true? How many know that God's word is a lamp unto our feet that guides us and leads us to the path of His righteousness and the path to our purpose? How many know that? How many know that God's word says that God's thoughts of you are good thoughts and not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of good to take you to your expected end? How many know that? How many know that word that is it? Amen. How many know that the word of God is true and that He will never leave you nor will He ever forsake you? How many know that? How many know that He is the comforter? How many know that He is not only the comforter, but He is the one that will give you peace that surpasses all understanding? How many know that God is a redeemer and a deliverer? How many know that He is a healer? Hallelujah. How many know that He will give you peace in the midst of troubles? How many know that He will go into the fire while you're in the fire and be in you, in the fire with you, and let you out and He'll stay in the fire? Hallelujah. Amen. God is a good God. Hallelujah. How many know that He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel? How many know that He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, bright and morning star, the day spring, the spring of the chief apostle of my soul, the bishop of my heart? How many know that He's that? Hallelujah. How many know that He's the lover of your soul? I am found Him in whom my soul loveth. How many know that to be true? Amen. We say all of those things. Did you ever see it? Did you ever see it? Think about it. Did you ever see what I just said to you? Did you ever see His lordship? Did you ever see that He's King? Did you ever see that He is peace in the midst of trouble? Did you ever see Him in the fire with you? Did you ever see when it didn't seem like you didn't know what to do, that He showed up and you saw Him as your deliverer? How many know that when you were sick in your sick bed, and sometimes you could have been in your own bed and you were sick, you didn't know what to do, but Jesus showed up? How many of you saw Him as a healer? All right. So just keep those in the back of your mind. I'm going to route back. Turn to Numbers, chapter number 13. You might want to write some of these scriptures down so you can go back and reference them. See, God is a deliverer. God is a keeper. But more than anything else, God is limited based on what you think about Him. Not only what you think about Him, but what you imagine Him to be. When we talk about imaginations, what we normally talk about is some kind of false image. All right, now listen to this. The Israelites were just about to enter into the promised land, and they were right there at the promised land. Moses said, well, you know what? We want you to go out, Joshua and Caleb and a couple of you men, and we want you to go out and spy out the land and tell me what you see when you get there. Anybody got me? Tell me what you see and report. Give me a report when you come back of what do you see. All right? Everybody listening to me? And verse number 32 of number 13. Well, I'm going to go up a little. Verse 30. And Caleb still the people before Moses said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." All right? So I want you to see what Caleb said. He got a vision in his mind when he went and spied out the land. And what he came back with is a conclusion of what he saw based on the vision he saw in his mind. He said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But notice what it says. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that has eaten up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature.'" Here's verse 33, and you need to really get this and even go home and meditate on this, what this is saying. "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." Y'all didn't get that. I don't know if y'all got that or not. Let me read it again. Let's all read it together. Let's try to kind of get it in our spirits. Ready? Go. And there we saw what? The giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, I always believe that God puts things in a particular order in the scriptures so that we can see some things that we normally don't see. And the first thing, if you get the report from Caleb, what you find is Caleb looks out and he says, "You know what, let's go up now and take the land." Right? "Let's go up now, for we are well able to do it." Does he not say that? Caleb says that regardless of what he sees with his natural eye, what he sees is that we are well able to take the giants. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And some of us got some giants in our land, and when we looked at them, we made the statement like the other men. And notice it says the other men. He doesn't even name them by name. He says the other men, which means that their report wasn't valid enough to even speak their name. But notice what he says. "In our sight, we are like grasshoppers." Now that takes note of a principle number one. Who do you believe who you are? You can't take on anything until you get a vision of who you are regarding you. It says, and so based on what you feel about yourself is what other views about you. So when you take an image and then take a look at yourself, you have to say, what is the image that I see myself as? Because if you don't see yourself as victorious, you never will be victorious. If you never see yourself as a conqueror, you will never conquer. If you never see yourself as someone that is valid, you will never be validated. Everybody understand what I'm saying? This is a principle rule. The first rule that you need to understand is that what do you see about yourself? Now Now I want you to hold that. I'm going to take you somewhere else real quickly. The will of God, the faith begins. Well, the will of God is made known. It is a saying that you know I've been saying, and I got it from Kenneth Hagin. He says the faith begins where the will of God is made known. And one of the things that we have to understand is that in order for you to understand what the will of God is, you got to be able to see it. You got to be able to view it. You got to have a vision of it. You got to have a imagination. Now listen, when we talk about imagination, when we read the Bible, because of religious attitudes and religious ideals, we always think about vain imaginations, wicked imaginations. We always go to the negative side, but I'm going to get away from the negative side because we all know about wicked imaginations because we've all been a participant in it. Anybody said amen? You haven't been saved all your life. You didn't come out of your room talking in tongues and had the Holy Ghost. Amen. You were one, just like I was, that indulged in the things of wickedness through the imaginations of our minds. Now listen, I talked to you a little bit before about the visions of the eyes, okay? And I talked to you about the sight. You have a spiritual sight and you have a natural sight. How many know that your natural sight can also be infiltrated by your soulish sight and can be infiltrated by a demonic sight and can be infiltrated by a God sight? Case in point is that if I tell you to give me directions to go down to the mall down there, what will happen? You will start visualizing the way there. And once you start visualizing the way there, you will instruct me based on the vision that you have to go there. Now, some of you might tell me to go straight up down this way, Ann Arbor Trail, turn down Wayne, go down this way and turn left. Some of you might say go down Merriman and turn up this way, down the Warren, and you'll hit them all right there. But anyway, what it is that you'll see the path before you speak it. Are you listening to me? Please listen to me because this will change your life. I'm telling you right now, it will change your life. Because what we find is, and what I found out is that your faith mixed with your imagination makes the thing possible. How many know Graham Bell? He made the telephone. How many got cell phones? I know y'all got cell phones. Y'all got y'all hands on down like I ain't got no cell phone. Y'all know y'all got a cell phone. Everybody got a cell phone. And what we don't realize is that you fulfill a vision by a man didn't even see a cell phone. But he prophesied that one day everybody will be carrying down communication, will be carrying a phone around across the world. And today it has come to pass. Why? He saw the vision of it. He created a foundation of it, and somebody built on that vision until now we see the prophetic voice that he's spoken regarding the phone in your pocket. Everything that is made was made from an image, made from an imagination. Somebody had an imagination, and somebody, even the seats that you're sitting in, somebody had an imagination that it should be like this. And guess what they did? They probably went one of these numbers. Give me one of these chairs. I'm sorry, y'all just have to. They probably, before they even sat down, I don't know when the chairs was made or benches was made, I don't know who all made them, but somebody had an imagination on it. And what they did was, they formed in their mind, I need a place to sit because I have something that was needed. Because I'm tired of sitting on the rocks. I'm tired of sitting on the grass. I want some place comfortable to sit because there probably was a problem with their backside. And so what they did was, they imagined in their mind them sitting down like this and being comfortable, but nothing was there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So everything that you see, somebody had an imagination about the car engine. Somebody had an imagination about peanut butter. Somebody had an imagination about what it is, how these fans should operate. So electricity had been around for trillions and trillions of years, even before the earth was made, but somebody had an idea, let me capture it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let me capture it some kind of way, because if I can get that light to stay on, now listen how this looks. This, somebody's looking in the sky, and as the lightning bolts going, it lights the sky up. But inside of their house, they had a candle. They have to keep buying candles and keep buying candlesticks and keep cutting the fire. Somebody said, if I can just keep that light on. And they looked in the sky, and they saw the lightning bolt. And as the lightning bolt flashed, they said, if I can just capture that lightning and bring that light here, I can keep lying. Stop buying those candles. And so what somebody did, had an imagination to put a key inside of a kite, bring it up by his lightning, and see if it could hit it. And when it hit it, it lit it up. And all of a sudden, an ideal came, an imagination. Anybody got it? I'm a believer that everything is possible. I don't know about you, but I believe everything is possible. I have, when I look at things, I can, in my mind, I can come to and say, we can do this, 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 and this. When I took the test, they said that I have a creative mind. That means that I can think about stuff, and I can always say, everything is possible. Even though some people said, no, that's not possible. Yes, it is possible. Because everything is possible to them that believe. You just got to have the right source to pull it from, to get it from, so that you can perform it. Are you understand what I'm saying? So look at the image that you have. Now turn to Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. All this is very familiar, but there's revelation in it. And let me, while you're turning there, let me read something to you. There's only two ways a human can see, and that is through his physical sight or through his imagination, or his soulish sight, or if you want to call it spiritual sight, or the unseen. Because if you close your eyes, how many can see pictures? Close your eyes right now, and I say apple, you can see the apple. Based on what you see, you can see green, red. Based on what your likes or dislikes are, you can see this. If I say peach, all of a sudden a peach come up in your mind. Whenever I proclaim a word to you, something will pop up in your mind. So if I said Jesus to you, what pops up? Think about it. Because most time when we say Jesus, it doesn't pop up. Because we don't have a clear image of him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't know if you got that. We don't really have a clear image of him, and as a result of us not having a clear image of him, how can you see him as your redeemer if you don't have a clear image of who he is? You got to have a clear image of who he is. Because if you don't see a clear image of who he is, how do you know he's a healer? How do you know that he's a deliverer? How do you know that he's a provider? Hallelujah. Courtney found out that he is a deliverer. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You need to understand that. We need to understand that. We need to understand how you view things in the internal is how you're going to see things in the external. All right, listen. Now, this is where, let me see. Without imagination, man would be completely limited. We'll be virtual robots. And that's what the enemy has done, has made us robots. And listen, see, if I can see it in my mind, then it's, listen to what I say carefully, it's a possibility to bring it to pass. But I have to do something in order to bring it to pass, because I have to be able to see it, and I have to begin to walk in that way so that it will be performed. And I'll show you that in a minute. If I don't have imaginations, then what I would have to do is I have to become a copycat. Because whatever you show me, that's what I do. So if I don't have a right image, then I have become a robot of whatever I see. Everybody understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, listen to this. The only way a human can see the past or the future unaided is through their imaginations. Memory uses the imagination. Much of our thinking, whether planned or jumped to conclusion, involved our imagination. Faith and fear operates in the realm of imagination. Everybody understand that? Faith and fear operates in the realm of imagination. So whatever you imagine based on your fears, that's what you will receive. Whatever you see from your faith in God, that's what you will get. Now listen, one of the ways in which we see this, but let's go to Hebrews first. Let's read this first, so you understand what I'm saying. And please go back, check me out, make sure I'm in the Word. But I'm gonna read verse 3 first. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, which means it was the unseen that caused it to be seen. The foundation of everything that you see comes from the unseen. Everybody understand what I'm saying? All right, your body is made from the unseen. Matter of fact, they can track your body down, how your body is composed, to sound molecules. Little flexible sound molecules, and those sound molecules, how they're flexing actually assembles you together, which is validated through the Word of God. For through the Word of God, He blew His breath in you, and you became a living what? Soul. The world was created by His Word. The Word, you cannot see the words I'm speaking. If I say that God is a healer, you cannot see based on my words. You have to begin to imagine it. See it with your spiritual eyes that He is a healer based on the words I speak through your faith. Now notice what it says in verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. And the evidence of things what? Not seen. Y'all not getting it. I know it might be a little slow, but you got to see what I'm saying. You got to be able to see something. You got to be able to do it. It says, now faith is. Now, right now, the unseen is right now. Right now is where the unseen is. Right now is where the unseen is. Right now, God is sitting there. His word is out there, but you don't see it, but it is alive. It is alive right now, ready for somebody to assemble it together within their hearts. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So right now we have a vision of something that is sure and unmoved. God saved you, didn't He? That is sure and unmoved, right? You believe that, right? Well, y'all kind of low on that one. You believe that you're saved, right? I mean, you don't just believe just because of the fact that you said, Jesus, you're my Lord and my Savior. That was just all that you had to do. There was something that had to take place within your heart in order for it to move into the reality of I know it. Hey, listen to what I'm saying. The thing about it, the scripture says this, and it is so true. It is so, so true. The children of darkness is... They are more knowledgeable, they have more wisdom than the children of light. I mean, when they think of a thing, they just go ahead and do it. They go ahead, they get it in their minds. I mean, we wouldn't have iPads and those phones that you wouldn't have. If you wouldn't have that if you did not understand that somebody had to have to come up with the ideal, come up with the image. They had to come up with how it should look and what it should operate like and what the functions are and how it should be and how it should function when it's in your hand. And we're real receptive to all that stuff. Somebody come up with an invention tomorrow, because, you know, right now they're working on holograms. Right now, holograms. And for those of you that are technical buffs, they're going to have it so that you can just put these little dime-like things right on the top of your dresser and table and all that kind of stuff, and you hit the button and it'll whoop. And you'll be able to look at it in 3D right before your eyes. Somebody came up with that idea. Matter of fact, you know, and some of you already know, that they brought back Tupac back to life. Was it Tupac? Too bad. And they had they was trying to bring Michael Jackson back. I think, I don't know if they did or not, but they was trying to bring him back through a hologram, that you could see the image. Don't you know that those are marketing schemes that's about to come onto market to get you to understand that technology is moving? So they get, and so we're like robots. We follow the trends, and we see that trend, and we'll follow after it because that's what we see, because we don't have any ideals ourselves. And that's where the enemy has infiltrated the church. The enemy has infiltrated the church to think that we have no ideals. It's all about just clapping your hands and slapping your hands and doing this and doing that. But no, we're kingdom people. We have ideals. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he will give us witty ideals. Matter of fact, he says he will give us witty ideals that can bring wealth. He said he will give us ideals to tear down the kingdoms of darkness and raise up the kingdom of light. Because you got to be able to be receptive to the image. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of that. You can't see it, but you sure know it's operating. you sure know it's operating. How do you know it's operating? Let's go to St. John chapter number 16. How many got the Holy Ghost? How many got the Holy Ghost? I want to really know if people got the Holy Ghost. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, you got a view. You got the view, and you got a connection with the internal to bring it into eternity. You got the connection with the things that seems to be impossible to be made possible because you're connected with him. I mean, if God created all things, quite naturally, if you're connected with him, then you should be able to say something, and something should come to pass. If somebody says, I don't know if you're here, ready yet. You know, and I'm coming to the conclusion, you know what, we have lost our imaginations. We have lost our thinking pattern. We have lost it, and we have replaced it with a different imagination. And how many of you, is so unfortunate that we can send our kids to school and they will feed them false imaginations, and our children will build upon that false imagination, and they will come in and do Harry Potter and do spells and mimic after them and do all that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to the kingdom, we don't share anything with them. Now listen, your mind is the breeding ground for miracles.